Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you enjoy our live stream, Brown John? If so, there's another one coming up on the 22nd of April.
If you didn't see it because you were busy or just an idiot, then you should check it out because the reviews we got for the first one were sensational.
Find out more about it on our Twitter, and also you can get your tickets. What's our website called again?
TFTimeMachine.com.
Yeah, tickets links, are available
the
there.
The links will be up there, yeah.
22nd of April, 7 p.m. Loads of great stuff. Get involved.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's Life Logistics. It begins with the sound of my son departing from his bedroom next door because he's heard me podcasting and he's decided that's not going to allow him to continue to sleep until beyond midday. So he's left his room and he's gone off with his duvet probably to sit on the sofa. Screw you, son. Oh.
Bloody hell, I can't believe it. It's a bit late, isn't it? What's he? Has he got any work to do?
He's saying something. No, summer holidays is on now.
Is it? Much.
Well, it's supposed to be next week, but we had issues with motivation regarding the homework, and so I said that if he put in a really solid 2 weeks, he could have the final week off. Because you don't do anything the last week at school, do you, for summer holidays?
Nah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
You don't.
It's toy day.
Toy day every day.
Every
another
day.
Another T-shirt idea.
Yeah, every day is toy day.
Every day is like toy day. Every day is dead fun and gay. Don't, even when you say toy day, right, I start to feel sick, like my mum warned me I'd be.
Yeah, sorry.
I vomit. I'm going to vomit now because I'm thinking about toy day.
Toy day panic.
Yeah, toy day. What am I going to take? Oh, I don't want to take the Millennium Falcon in case someone nicks it off me. that would be a consideration on toy day because you'd be like,
yeah, of course.
I want to take a really good toy. The criteria is what is going to be fun to play with, attract other children to want to play with me, what's going to be quite flash and look like I am quite a well-resourced toy owner.
Yeah.
well funded. I'm a well funded toyer. Yeah.
But from the thing about toy day is it's hierarchical, isn't it? Because is that the word? Because everyone takes a toy in, but you are taking toys in that you want to attract other kids to play with you. Some kids then are gonna have no one play with their toys.
Yeah, because obviously you go to a school, you know, like my school was very mixed. Right, which is the case at most sort of state schools. They can be very mixed. Mm-hmm. So there'd be some, you know, some kids were quite posh and they were probably spoilt and probably had kids.
Can I just ask, are you rattling something?
No, I'm not. I've got my stress ball. Look, silent stress ball.
I can hear it for once.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway. And then, so you'd have some spoilt kids who'd probably get a special toy bought for them, especially for toy day. It's toy day, mother. I don't want to take in an old, soiled toy. It will need to be something fresh and gleaming and impressive to the other children because I want it to be the best toy. Or even worse, kids who don't say that but whose parents are like that. You know what? There's a kid at my son's school, right, who is like that. Like the mum. It's not about the kid. He's nice. But the mum is so fucking falling over herself to be queen bee. There's always one in every category that it would be like, I'm gonna buy, like, if my kid goes on a play date, well, actually I'm not gonna go into it because I don't want to, you know, you never know who's listening. We all remember the situations I found myself in the past.
Yeah, exactly.
But there'd always be like, Now, no, you're not taking that toy because it's old and dirty. I've been to Hamley's and bought you a brand new cowboy fort made of real wood. Take that in, and here are some cowboys and Indians.
Your father will take you into school early on the day at 7:30 a.m. so he can assemble it for you before school begins at 9 a.m.
And on toy day, of course, desk space in the classrooms, a valuable real estate. You need to get there early in order to claim the best spot. But then they'd be quite, to be honest, Andy, I mean, don't like to say this, but quite common children, right, at my school as well, who there'd be kids who I'd look up to and kids that I'd look down to. And, you know, one of them might just bring in a shoe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's that, mate? Oh, it's my best toy. What is it? Oh, it's my brother's shoe. Yeah. But it don't fit him no more, so he lets me play with it. What? Don't you do it? Well, I pretend it's a car. Because, like, we can't afford Star Wars stuff, I pretend sometimes it's Luke's X-Wing fighter. I've got to tell you, mate, that looks nothing like a fucking X-Wing fighter. No, don't be like that. Stick your Luke Skywalker in there. No, sorry, mate. I'm really sorry, but I'm not playing with you.
I've got an imaginary Luke Skywalker. I can't afford a real one.
Or I use this stick that I found in the park and I pretend that's Luke Skywalker. Oh, I'm getting upset just thinking about this. A shoe and a stick that he had to pretend was an X-Wing fighter and Luke Skywalker because they were that poor. Oh, no. That's ruined my day and I just invented it.
Yeah, that makes it worse.
Imagine one kid and he didn't even have a shoe. He just literally sat in the corner playing with imaginary toys.
Just the imagination, yeah.
My mum says that the best toys are the ones inside your imagination. So that's what I'm playing with now. Foppy. Well, good luck to you. But I'm going over there with Sebastian, who's just got a brand new fucking cowboy fort made of real wood. And he says I can play with him. So thanks for the offer, mate. But I'd rather play with that than with your fucking imaginary toys.
See you later, you mad cunt.
Toy day. You're right. I mean, it's very political.
It is terrible.
And maybe that's why it doesn't happen as much anymore.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But he's 12 and a half, so he's kind of like almost teenage. So he's at that thing where he'll just stay in bed till noon.
Yeah, my daughter is like that non-school days.
I've turfed them now with my podcasting. Right, what are we doing? It's life logistics, isn't it? What have we had?
Logistics.
You replied to one on Twitter. We put out the appeal for life logistics questions. Dutch legend Brian Roy, probably not the Brian Roy, on Twitter, said, just finished The Sopranos. Feel like there's a massive hole in my life without. There is, correct. Life will never be the same again. You will never have that moment of watching The Sopranos for the first time. He says, what can I watch next? And you've tweeted a reply, which is not in the spirit of life logistics.
Yeah, sorry, I think I just got carried away. I didn't realise that he was, it's probably a bit bored.
I'll read out what you said. He said, have you done Breaking Bad and The Wire? Also, Irish crime drama Love Hate is a classic. So is Boardwalk Empire with Steve Buscemi and Ray Donovan. So there you are.
Especially, I mean, if you like The Sopranos, the two that are the most closely associated, I would say, are... I mean, Ray Donovan is basically a rip-off of The Sopranos. Irish, not... I'd say a rip-off, that's unfair. I mean, it's a brilliant programme. It's really great.
I need to get into that one, I think.
It's really, really great programme. And to say it's a rip-off is unfair. It's not like... But what I mean to say is it's very similar because it's a crime family. In this case, they're Irish. They're in LA. Well, at least the first few series, as opposed to Italian and in New Jersey. But, many parallels because it's half about his family life and half about his work life and all the struggles and the mental illness, which, of course, when The Sopranos starts, is a huge part of it, and the drinking and all the rest of it. So that's great. And Love Hate is also like that. That actually is in Irish. I mean, Ray Donovan's Irish-American, and John Voight plays his dad in one of the fucking greatest television performances ever. The character he plays is fucking sensational, John Voight. Love Hate is a little bit under the radar. It was never, because I think it was a bit pre-Netflix revolution, but you can get them on DVD. and there's about four series of that, and it's all set in Dublin, and it's fucking brutal. The drug wars in Dublin. It was all based on truth as well. You know, it's like a lot of it was kind of based on actual news stories, but they dramatised it. Fucking brutal. Okay. And I thought Dublin was just a lovely place. I thought it was a safe, lovely city before I watched that show. I mean, it is lovely, but not. Yeah. I'll tell you another one while we're on the subject. That's another classic that I didn't put on the list. I don't know if you ever saw, Andy, but it's a real fucking classic from quite a long time ago that I'm going to revisit one of these days. It's The Shield with Michael Chiklis.
Mm.
You know that one?
I know it, but I never got into it. But yeah, a lot of people say it's really, really good.
Amazing. It's one of those shows as well that's like, I think there's about six series and it gets better and madder as it goes on. Michael Chiklis and what's his name? Walton Goggins. Fucking amazing name. He was a guy who was in that Tarantino film, The Hateful Eight. But anyway, that's good too.
I've just had a look on justwatch.com, which is the search engine for all stuff that's streaming in various places. And apparently that Love Hate is on BritBox.
If you're
into that. That's £5 a month, I think, BritBox, but it's on there. All five series are on there.
I haven't got that, BritBox. So, I might get it.
I might have a look at that.
I think you'd like it. It's really good.
I've always been spoiled by The Sopranos. I've started so many drama series and just sort of bailed after about three episodes because I've thought, oh, it's not The Sopranos.
Even The Sopranos, though, like, I think the first series is the weakest series of all of them.
Yeah, I suppose.
And I started... It's still great, though. Before it clicked with me, I think I tried and failed when it first came out to get really into it. When it was first out on TV, which I think was like the late 90s. And then slowly I got more, you know, I went back to it a few years later. And then, you know, you break through the first few, because the first few are less kind of about gangsters and more about his relationship with his mother and his therapist. And so, you know, when I was still quite young, probably in my 20s when it came out, I was a bit like, oh, fuck off. Oh, why don't they start killing people and putting their heads in clamps like in their Martin Scorsese films? But then I got a bit older and got more into the other, some more subtle bits. But all of them, Love, Hate, The Shield, all of those other ones that I recommend, you know, you always have to sort of, I think, white knuckle the first 3 to 4 episodes of anything and just think, this is quite that, like Breaking Bad. I couldn't watch it because it was started off being about a bloke, a father who got terminal cancer in his 40s. And that's like the last thing I need to be fucking watching with my nerves. Do you know what I mean?
I got through the first series. I never got any further. But everyone says, oh, you got to watch the first series, then it gets better. Fucking make it good from the fucking start. You know what I mean? I don't have to fucking invest 12 hours in something.
These American shows are made by algorithm, not humans. And so what they do is they put the first one out and then they start basically being able to trace your emotional responses to every last thing. And that informs the second series and so on. And that's why they always get better as they go along, because everything is based on feedback.
There has been one or two things that have been cancelled on Netflix and there have been massive fan outcry because they've been cancelled before their time kind of thing. And Netflix have kind of gone, well, it's the algorithm. The algorithm has said no more. Trust us.
Sorry. Yeah.
We know that...
Freaks and Geeks, do you remember that? That was the Judd Apatow and basically everyone who became a big comic actor in Hollywood for the last 20 years. They all started in that one show. And that only lasted one series. And that's an absolute fucking knockout series, that is. Probably the best thing he's ever done.
So that's TV covered then. What else have we got? Let's have a look. Got anything there in the mailbag?
Let's see. Roddy Pete, who's a regular and respected cunter. In fact, I went on one of his football podcasts to talk about being mental in the nut recently.
Oh, yeah.
He says, all right, lads, compact story of a big ball of vinegar crisps. My mate Joe used to get a few bags of salt and vinegar crisps, drench them in vinegar, roll into a ball and eat it throughout the day. Oh, like an apple.
Hell.
Like a vinegary crisp apple.
Returning back to it.
On special occasions, he used to add Worcester sauce into the mix. P.S. I have a pink snooker ball in my mouth. Yeah, I mean, that's not life logistics, is it? But I read it out anyway. I suppose it is, in as much as Andy talked about last week about how it can be nice to roll up bread into a bowl eat it in pellet form.
Yeah.
And so... If you're into that, here's another recommendation. You can turn crisps into, you just by drenching crisps in vinegar, you can turn it into an all-day savoury apple, which is quite nice.
Good stuff. Well, just having a look at the recent ones that have come in. Cat problem. Kieran Moriety says, all right, lads, got an urgent life logistics question. I have two cats, and one of them has gone on a rampage trying to kill the local birds. That's what cats do, isn't it? Problem is their murdering skills aren't at full throttle yet, so I'm ending up with lots of small birds being brought into the house alive. As an act of coward, I don't have the heart to put the birds out of their misery and keep dropping them to a wildlife sanctuary run by a complete lampard who keeps giving out. He's missed out a word. I think it probably means information about all the birds I keep bringing round. Any advice would be welcome. I don't know. I think he's doing the right thing. Surely. There's a wildlife sanctuary there that exists for you to take these birds to, where presumably they get healed. Or this other bloke puts them out of their misery. So...
My mate Darren recently husbanded a bird. I think it was like lockdowns had a funny impact on him. A good one, though. They found an injured bird in their garden, and he took it in, and they nursed it to recovery and then released it into the wild. And he sent pictures to, like, you know, a few of us on a group of the bird, of him holding it and gently nursing it. And it was quite sweet. I mean, I'm an animal lover, and you know I'm fascinated by birds. Yeah. As a bird lover, I like to observe them.
A bird observer, activities. Yeah.
I'm a keen bird observer. Yeah. But I fear birds because I don't like
you don't trust the birds, do you, Sam?
I've told you before about the fucking one that got inside my house once and flew around. I shat myself. So I don't think I'd have the balls, which I'm ashamed to admit.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
A mate of mine, Joshua, used to work with, you know him. Joshua used to work for me. Yeah. And he is a crafty cunt because he found an injured bird once outside. We were working in some offices which belonged to another company. We were renting space from them. And it was one of those offices, a trendy media London office where all the women were sensationally attractive. Right. So I'd spend a lot of my day doing my salmon, showing off loudly, thinking that would impress everyone. That was my strategy. It was a straightforward salmon strategy. Do you know what I mean?
Strategy.
Shouting, trying to be funny, showing off, doing tricks, you know, that sort of thing.
Did you have your skateboard with you?
I had a skateboard, trying to produce 50p pieces from behind people's ears, etc., etc.
Baseball cap on back the front, that sort of thing, yeah.
Dark glasses at all times, smashing things.
Yeah.
Smash, smash, smash. Here, girls, gather red. Yeah.
Gonna do some smashing.
First of all, anyone fancy a job player special? Right. Now, I'm gonna do a smashing display for you all now. No, but what he did was one day, he's a more quiet dark horse type. He's fucking gone out at lunchtime and somehow in the middle of Covent Garden found an injured bird. He's fucking nursed the cunt. And then taken him and released him in some park or something, right?
Oh, he took it on. I nursed it in the office.
He took it in the office, did a bit of nursing. I don't know what he did.
What, on the deer nursing?
Day nursing.
Wow.
And then eventually he carefully took it to a park where it was released because it had kind of got lost in a sort of slightly too urban area. And anyway, I think he then seeded the fact that this had happened around the office quietly, in a quiet way, right?
Good.
Strategic.
Almost the complete
known
opposite to what you were doing.
I'd be like, I fucking fixed the bird. I fixed it. Everyone gather round.
I've got a speech to make about a thing I've done. I found a bird and it was dying, so I made it better. And now it's at the park. Who wants to get off with me?
Former Q. But not him. He fucking just let it subtly creep through the grapevine.
Yeah.
And this girl who we'd all been sort of like admiring on the reception desk for some weeks, she's fucking turned up and said, she walked in and we were like gobsmacked, right? She was like a supermodel and she's walked in, she's gone, which one of you, I'm not going,
it's Sam Delaney, it's me, of course. You probably want to come and ask me about my wonderful career.
No, let me finish. Which one of you is Josh, the man who nursed...
What do you want to talk to that twat for?
Because he respects the life of animals to the extent that he nursed a bird in his own time and then released it into a park. And it's him that I am willing to get off with, not you.
I'm keen to get off with.
There's someone I'm keen to get off with if he has a moment.
Is it me, Sam Delaney?
No, it is not you.
I'm sorry, I thought it was me. I'll just go back to what I'm doing then.
Are you sure? Are you sure it's not me?
I think there might have been an administrative mix-up here. It's usually me. Yeah, I would have nursed that bird, but he got to it first, didn't he?
I told him what to do. I told him how to nurse it.
I looked on Google. I've had loads of bird nursing before.
I told him. He's my apprentice. Come here.
Right, Josh. You are bang out of order doing that, right? And I've got to make you pay for this.
I'll make you pay for this. Old fucking toy day.
Yeah, stealing my fucking thunder again.
that was impressive.
Yeah, what advice do we give then? Just carry on doing what you're doing.
Get the birds. He's taken it to a
wildlife sanctuary. He's dealing with a lampard who keeps telling him about all the birds, which I think's good. You get some education there, free education. Don't see that as a negative.
I don't think that's necessarily lampardy. Nah, it's not lampardy. He's just being helpful. Absorb all the info you can while you've got the chance.
Yeah, you're doing the right thing, Kieran. You're keeping the circle of life going. Eventually, your cat will learn how to kill these birds properly, and then your problem will be solved. So, the gentle balance of the universe is as it should be there, I think. Mark Nicholson says, I'm going to North Berwick, not to be confused with Berwick-upon-Tweed, in a few weeks. North Berwick is a beach town. It seems to have no amusement arcades, a.k.a. no coining opportunities. Shall I sack off the holiday and stay at home, or buy one of them big coining machines to be delivered to the holiday home? Well, that's a very stupid option, Mark. That's not going to happen. Just go on holiday. Have a nice time. It doesn't have to be about coining. Beating the beach. It's an augmentation of the beach coining.
I mean, I'm seriously thinking of going to the Isle of Wight now because, do you know what? Fuck it. But I don't necessarily have to go to the beach when I'm there. And if I go to the beach, I don't say this lightly, but I've already thought if I do go to the beach, and you know that Shanklin Beach is my coining mecca, right?
It is.
It's the main thing I look forward to every year is coining down there, right? But
in the Shanklin.
If I do go to the beach, which I might not, I'm almost certain that I won't coin. Because honest, folks, coining is probably... I'm not being over-cautious because you've got to live your life, right? I'm being appropriately cautious in my mind. But I just think that coining is going to be one of the most rampant COVID danger zones that you could get.
Yeah, yeah. We kind of feel responsible for bigging it up so much, don't we, as well?
Please, coin responsibly this summer, right?
You've got a coin with gloves on, haven't you? You've got a coin with latex gloves on, I think.
If you're going anywhere near an arcade in any capacity, mask and gloves, please. Yes, we are looking into getting the Latvians to make some latex coin-in gloves, branded Top Flight Time Machine, but we're still in negotiations, so watch this space.
Yeah, I mean, I would for a walk along the beach.
The Latvians are doing masks now, by the way.
Are they?
Yeah, so we can get Top Flight Time Machine masks.
Oh, well, we might have to do that then. Pick a couple of slogans to put on them.
Yeah.
I went for a walk along the beach the other night on my birthday. But I didn't go till about 7:30, and the beach is normally full during the day, full of, you know, beach cunts. But when you go at 7:30, there's hardly anybody there. Loads of space for you to space out.
Yeah,
I mean, lovely 90-minute walk.
If you're on the beach in the evening, you look like a mysterious drifter.
You look sophisticated, exactly.
I think not in a bad way, but yeah, you look like a mysterious drifter who's seen many things in life.
Yeah,
and is now just which is the, I mean, mysterious drifter is like, to some people that's just a, it's just like a cool word for nonce. Caution! There are three prosecuted mysterious drifters living in your area.
I might get a top flight time machine mask to wear next time I go to the beach with not a nonce across the front
or
of it.
Or mysterious drifter. Mysterious drifter, brackets, not a nonce. Stuart Ives, regular correspondent, who, by the way, is very happy because he has been bothering us for so long about merchandise being made available in Australia where he lives. Well, it is now available. And if you are an Australian cunter, then I got a tweet from one of your fellow Australian cunters today. You said that he ordered some mugs on Sunday and they arrived in the post this morning on Tuesday. Wow. So at the moment, the deliveries in Australia are happening quicker than they are here in Old Blighty.
It's gone from Latvia to Australia in 2 days.
The Latvian outfit. Basically, we've now got a production warehouse, a machine like Bertha, but in Australia. In fact, two different locations.
Okay.
So now suddenly they're knocking the stuff out in Australia. Ditto America. So if you're in America, Canada, or Australia, then fill your boots on the merch page. Anyway. Stuart Ives has written to us asking for jeans advice. Rig jeans. this is a good question, right?
I bought about seven. Can we have one of those little stings that we play?
Yeah. Okay.
Jeans advice.
So here we go. Stuart Ives, right? Hi, Sam, Andy, and the Metal Cunt. I bought about 7 pairs of jeans during lockdown. I haven't worn jeans for years, but rediscovered my love of them recently. Is it acceptable to have more than...
I love them jeans.
Oh, I forgot how much I loved a good pair of jeans. I tell you what, right? In normal life, I was a daily jeans wearer, but I haven't worn jeans since lockdown began. And I'm seriously thinking I might never again. So for me, it's had the reverse effect.
I never wear jeans between April and October anyway. I'm shorts.
Wear shorts, right.
24/7, unless I have to go somewhere where jeans have to be worn, which is very
like a rodeo.
Like a rodeo, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a rhinestone cowboy. But, my jeans haven't come out of the cupboard for months.
I just now, it's like, I'm so used to not wearing jeans and other... The idea of it, you just think, why do we wear such uncomfortable clothes?
Yeah.
That scratch at your flesh all day long.
We'll be nude all the time.
Anyway, he says, I haven't worn jeans for years, but rediscovered my love of them recently. Is it acceptable to have more than one pair going at once, such as one for rig life and one for work outside rig life, as experts suggest only washing them once every 7 to 10 wears. I don't wear jeans to work. However, I could, if I so desired. Oh, listen to him. Could, if I wanted, just choose not to.
Wow.
Well, first of all, Stuart, this raises as many questions as it does answers, because what trousers are you wearing?
Are
you tracksuit bottoms? Do you wear cords? Do you wear leather trousers? Or maybe you're a chinos man, yeah. So I'm interested to know that. Should I have worn one pair on the go? Well, yeah, but I pick you up where you say one for rig life. Never wear jeans inside the house.
No.
Never. What is the point? No. You're wasting your time. You're wasting the jeans, right?
Yeah.
There's an extra wear on them that they don't need and you don't need, right? It's fucking ludicrous. If I come in the house in a pair of jeans from a day out, at the rodeo, right?
Yeah.
Or like I might have been out at the monthly meeting of my Fonzarelli appreciation meeting here in Barnes, where we just get
jeans
together and dress in jeans and leather jackets, right? I come home and I can't even communicate my family until I've run upstairs and changed out of the jeans. Jeans are uncomfortable. Never wear them in the rig. If you wear them out, like I say, to a rodeo or some sort of coolness event, right? Perhaps you're going to see a screening of the James Dean film Rebel Without a Cause and something you like want to dress the part, right? Then that's fine. But no. And Washington 7-10 wears, that is only really if you've got the very expensive selvage denim, often from Japanese brands, that washes out real quick. And so that's why people... But if you've just got a normal pair of fucking Levi's or something like that, wash them as many times as you want, mate. They get better and better.
Yeah, there you go.
Personally, I can't see... I tell you what, I don't know what sizes you are, Stuart Ice, but I might be selling a lot of jeans soon because I can't see myself going back to them. No way.
Jeans advice for you there.
Chris Barham, this is one for you, Andy. And I'm sure the question's been asked before, but we all want to know the answer again. It's from Chris Barham, and he's a man after our hearts here because he simply asked the question in the subject heading and has not included any copy in the email, which is exactly the sort of email we like, isn't it?
Oh, perfect, yeah.
He's just written, air fryer, is it shit? Andy, go.
No, the air fryer is not shit. The air fryer is fantastic. You can do all sorts in it. You can do chips with just half a tablespoon of vegetable oil, which is really healthy. You can do,
how crispy are they?
What?
How crispy are the chips?
They're not massively crispy, but they're not soggy either. They're quite dry. How do they compare to an oven chip?
They're better than oven chips.
They're miles better than oven chips. I've never had an oven chip for years since I discovered the air fryer. You can do potato wedges, sweet potato wedges. You can do sausages in them. You can do 7-inch sized pizzas.
What about this? This is what I'm interested in. What about battered things?
Yeah.
Because as a vegetarian, I'm quite into battering vegetables in the tempura style and then frying
them. Oh, right, like that. Fresh batter on them.
Dip something in batter and then stick it in the fryer.
Don't say why not. The thing about the air fryer is you've got to try stuff, see if it works.
What brand have you got?
I've got the Philips, which I think is the best one, but I've not really tried many others, but no one I've heard of that's got the Philips speaks badly of it, so... And I've had nothing but success with it. So, yeah, fucking go for it. Because someone said that the air fryer someone was talking about, what was it, pressure cookers. There's a thing called an Instant Pot now, which we weren't aware of, which is kind of like a pressure cooker, and it cooks everything really quick. You can cook a chicken in fucking 20 minutes or something.
A minute.
Yeah.
Insta chicken.
So we're all over that now. I'm going to get one of them.
I, for one, you know, I don't eat chickens anymore, but I am tired of waiting. Tired. It's why I became a vegetarian. I was just tired of waiting all that time for chickens to cook.
Yeah.
I was just like, fuck that. I haven't got time. I'm going vegetarian because meat just takes too long.
I wonder how long it takes to cook an Ortolan.
Oh, my God.
In an Instant Pot. 20 seconds.
Since we talked about Ortolan... The cosmos has been so involved in this, really? Right? Like, so many people have had cosmos experiences with Ortolan since I mentioned mine. Like, Jesus. People tweeting and saying, oh, you know, the day you talked about it, I switched on Billionaire and it was that scene as soon as I switched on. And then someone, forgive me for not remembering your name, I haven't got it in front of me, but someone tweeted us yesterday saying, I decided to look it up. About the Billions scene with the Ortolan, and look what website the first hit was, and it was a website called Cosmos.
Yeah, I saw that. Shit.
Fucking mad, isn't it? I don't know. There's been a lot of... Well, we started it, and now it's gone global. We predicted quite near the beginning of lockdown that the birds were planning some sort of takeover. We said that right near the beginning, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
And at first people were like, oh, it's just Sam and Andy with their usual, like, crackpot ideas, right?
Yeah.
Since then, we've all seen the footage of that massive crow tsunami in fucking America, right, outside of Walmart. You saw that, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Madness, right? Now, everywhere you look, Ortolan, to the extent that I'm thinking maybe these things are connected and maybe what the birds are doing is planning revenge for the way in which we've treated their Ortolan brothers and sisters. I don't know.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah. Who knows? Right. That's it from this one. If we've missed anything, we'll try and pick it up next week. And as always, get your life logistics problems in. Contact at tftimemachine.com. or on the Twitter, and we will endeavour to help you. I think we might have helped one or two people a day, hopefully. I'm not totally sure, but we've learned some things.
Definitely Stuart Ives has learned from the jeans conversation. Oh, we've got some jeans
advice, yeah. Yeah, we'll call the episode Jeans Advice, I think, because that's a strong part.
But also, I think we gave some strong unsolicited advice on how to navigate Toy Day for both children and adults.
No one was expecting that, were they?
No.
All right, there you go. That's your lot. Thanks very much. Fuck off.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.